My mom had three favorites. All three of her kids were her favorites. That was just preaching. My mom had one favorite. Make sure my sisters aren't here today, so. But they knew. They knew. And our church knew, because my mom, I'd just say something, she'd stand up like, you know, she'd just like brag about me. So if I was ever down, I could just call on my mom and she'd just say something good and everything was good. That's a mom, isn't it? That's a mom. Hey, speaking about mothers too, we've been in the book of Genesis for over a year, and now we're transitioning into the book of Exodus, second book of the Old Testament. It's been 400 years from the end of Genesis to where Exodus takes over. It's been 400 years. We're going to see about some of that 400 years, what took place next week, really. But just to introduce a little bit as we get into the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Notice what the Bible says, and now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. We remember the story, famine in the land, both were starving. Jacob sent his boys there to Egypt, who they met, their brother who they sold, Joseph, and so we know the story. And so they came and we went back to Canaan, took wagons, brought the families to Egypt. And so it just kind of like reminded us what we already know, what we've already studied there in verse 1. And then it gives the names in verse 2, Reuben. These are the sons of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. So 70 went from Canaan to Egypt. They lived in a place called Goshen in Egypt. For Joseph was in Egypt already. You know, he was like in charge, the second person in charge of all of Egypt. Verse 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And so we come to the beginning of Exodus, where we kind of like get a summary there of what took place in Genesis. And so we left a few weeks ago where Joseph sent wagons with his brothers back to their dad, Jacob. And they moved all their families from Canaan to Egypt, Goshen. Once they relocated, they moved, they settled in, they stayed in Egypt 430 years. A long time, 430 years. During which time, Joseph and his 11 brothers died in Egypt. Notice verse 7 and 8. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. So 430 years, 70 souls. They went there, multiplied. They went there, they just expanded. Their families grew. And the whole Egypt, it says there, talks about the land was filled with Israelites in Egypt. Verse 8, key verse today. Here it goes. Now there arose up a king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. The king rose up, didn't know about Joseph. Joseph, the main character in all the book of Genesis, Joseph, the main guy, almost in the whole Bible, Joseph, the guy. And all these Bible scholars estimate that there was over 2 million Israelites in Egypt that started with 70. And here's a guy that rises to the top of Egypt as the king and knew not Joseph. Now think about that. Joseph from misfortune to fame and fortune, because we've studied his story. His life was second to none in character, in his heart for the Lord. His legacy like no other. His love, far-reaching. Joseph went from a fractured family, his father's favoritism, and then sold as a foreigner in a strange country. That's his bio. And during that several chapters of Genesis where we studied his life, over and over the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And God just had his hand upon his life. God raised Joseph up in an amazing way. And under Joseph's legislation and under his leadership, Joseph saved Egypt from starvation and death. Think about it. Joseph did that. God raised him up, put him in a position, and for 14 years, he was in total charge of all the bounty bumper crops of crops and how they was distributed and how they was put back for a rainy day. And during that last 7 years of famine where nothing grew, the crops were dead. The rain was nil. Joseph in his wisdom and Joseph with his connection to the Lord simply had put back enough that it would last their 2 million plus the Egyptians, all their millions, and it would last them for the endurance of the total famine, 14 years. God used one man to do that. One man to organize that. One man to be in charge of that. One man to lead that. His name was Joseph. And Joseph allowed men and women during those tough times. He allowed them because of his skills and his ability. He allowed them to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Egypt. And the truth is, when you hear the story, you have to admit, when you read the story, you have to conclude, when you read the story, you've got to simply say and agree, the nation of Egypt owed its all to Joseph. Owed its survival to Joseph. Owed its existence to this man, Joseph. As a matter of fact, if that happened to us and we had somebody that one person in particular, like a Joseph, we would say, Joseph is the man. If Joseph lived today, if we had a Joseph that lived today that had the accomplishments, that did what Joseph did, what we know he did according to Scripture, his name would be in most conversations. His name would be on bumper stickers and t-shirts. His name would be on bracelets that said WWJD. What would Joseph do? Schools would be named after him. His face would be on currency. His image would be on Mount Rushmore. The favor, the power, the blessings of God was so mightily upon Joseph. The books should be written about him. Songs should be sung about him. Lectures and life lessons should be taught about him. But verse 8 just pops up. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible for sure in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you again. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. This new king, this new Pharaoh, had no knowledge, no interest, no concern for who Joseph was, what Joseph did. Just a generation ago, Egypt knew who Joseph was. They knew him by name. They knew him by accomplishments. They knew him by reputation. They knew him by testimony. They knew him by fame. They knew him because of the mistreatment that he had gone through. But then little by little, Egypt went from knowing all about Joseph. Egypt went from knowing just a little bit about Joseph. Egypt went to not knowing nothing about Joseph. Something sad about that. Something very sad about that. So here's Brandon Baptist Church. For over a year, we've been in a series of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of first things. And the Bible, in that book, closes with the wonderful story of a man by the name of Joseph. And God raised him up, and God used him, and God had his hand upon him, and God blessed him. But we learned during our study, we learned about Joseph's birth. We taught about Joseph's childhood. We discussed his adversity. We saw where he got his promotion. And then we saw the unbelievable, tear-jerking, heartstrings-pulling reunion Joseph had with his brothers, his family. And maybe you're here today, and you're thinking, so what's the big deal about a new king not knowing who Joseph was? Well, not to know Joseph and not to know who Joseph was is not to know that all his dreams, all his prophecies, all his predictions came true. If you don't know him, you don't know that. Not to know who Joseph was is not to know that he was greatly loved by his father, but hated and envied by his brothers. Not to know who Joseph was is not to know he was sold into the hands of the enemy for the price of a slave. To know who Joseph was is not to know that Joseph suffered and was forsaken, and a lot of his life was he was all alone. To not know who Joseph was is to not know even all that forgot him, but God never did. To not know who Joseph was is not to know that he was raised out of a pit and placed upon a throne. What a story. Rags to riches. New king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph. To not know who Joseph was is not to know that those who rejected him, those who despised him, those that falsely accused him had to bow down to him. To not know who Joseph was is not to know that he had bread when nobody else did. To not know who Joseph was is to know the very one who became known as the Savior of Egypt, the Savior of the world. To know who Joseph was is not to know the one who managed, who mentored, who modeled the single greatest food strategy short of a food shortage in the history of the world. To know who Joseph was is to know that he saved, he salvaged, he sustained the population of the world from hunger by following his master's plan. It wasn't his plan. He followed the master's plan, who simply gave Pharaoh a dream, and he couldn't interpret it, nor could anybody else, but God allowed Joseph to simply have the insight and the discernment of that dream that simply came to fruition with Joseph being promoted and been put in charge of doing something he had never did. But he followed his master's plan. To not know who Joseph was is not to know the compassion, the love, the forgiveness he had for his brothers who sold him, for his family who made up stories about him and envied and hated him. If you would have asked anyone in his day, "Hey, do you know Joseph?" The answer is, "Yes, I do. I'm glad to know who Joseph is. I'm glad to know what Joseph had done." There rose up a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. Something mighty sad about that verse. But let me tell you something that's a little bit sadder. You're in chapter 1, look at chapter 5 real quick. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2. And Pharaoh, this new king, this new Pharaoh, verse 2, Exodus 5, 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." He not only didn't know who Joseph was, he didn't know who Jehovah was. Today, April 28th, 2024, our country's a lot like Egypt. Our country is gone from knowing all about Jesus to knowing something about Jesus, to knowing a little bit about Jesus, to knowing nothing about Jesus. Can I just tell us what we already know? We owe our very existence to Jesus. We owe our very family that he's blessed us with to Jesus. We owe our very health to Jesus. We owe our next breath to Jesus. We know our every heartbeat to Jesus. Not to know who Jesus is not to know about the greatest birth ever recorded, is not to know about the greatest name that's ever been given, is not to know the greatest life that was ever lived, is not to know the greatest story ever told, is not to know the greatest sacrifice ever made, not to know who Jesus is not to know the one who was loved by his Father but despised by the world, is not to know God's only begotten Son, is not to know the one who was sold for the price of a slave, not to know who Jesus is not to know the only one who suffered for the crimes and the sins and the penalties of others, is not to know the one who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is not to know the one who raised himself from the dead, from the grave, from the borrowed tomb on that very first Easter, early Sunday morning. Not to know who Jesus is not to know the one who's the bread of life, is not to know the one who alone is the Savior of all mankind, who will call upon him and will repent of their sin and will accept him in their life. Not to know who Jesus is not to know the one whose promises and prophecies and predictions have or will come true in minute detail. You can mark it down and you can take it to the bank. Not to know who Jesus is not to be ready when Jesus returns. Do you know him today? Are you ready if he comes today? I question, church, do you know Jesus? In order to know him, you had to first hear about him. In order to know him, you have to be introduced to him. In order to know him, you have to have met him. There rose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, which knew not the Lord God Jehovah. They were ignorant of their Egyptian history. And it's sad in our great nation. We have many who are not ignorant of our history, but ignorant of his story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Have you heard that story? Have you surrendered to that story? Have you died to yourself? Because he must increase and we must decrease. The world can hear stories of events and their lives will never change. But when you meet Jesus, you hear his story. His life, his story becomes part of your story. Our lives are forever changed. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm here to tell you, he's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Redeemer. He's our Advocate. He's our Mediator. He's our King. King of Kings. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, I just want to go on record this morning. We start the book of Exodus. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. God forbid we ever live in a society. God forbid we ever here in America where we have a leader that is put in a position of over leadership who says, I don't know who Jesus is. God forbid in our society that we live in a society where everybody ought to know about Jesus. Everybody ought to know a lot about Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus personally. But there arose a man in Egypt, a new king, which knew not who Joseph was, who knew not who Jehovah God was. May I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to think about when you met Jesus. If you can't recollect that, you can't bring that up, you don't know what that happened, today would be a good day to hear his story for your life. How he loves you. He died for you. He wants to forgive your sins. And by faith, you can make that happen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful of Genesis. We thank you for your word overall. Father, we just pray that you just, Holy Spirit, do what you can do, as I did my best to speak to the human ears of men and women, young people today. I did what only I can do. Holy Spirit of God, we pray you would just prick some hearts. We pray, Father, that you'd convict some hearts. We pray that you'd draw some hearts. for one year, for several years, and don't ever remember me. They don't know you personally. And we'll ask and we'll praise and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Ruben's going to do an invitation. You join with him. We can help you, you come.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all to thee. I freely give. I will ever love and trust in his presence. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
My wife's a pastor's wife. Heard a message similar to what you heard today. What's going to be? Walking up. And said, I've never been to church. I know about it. I've heard about it. I've suffered a pastor's wife. Walked in front of the church that loved her. Haven Heights Baptist Church here in Fort Smith. Nailed in that. My first revival that I was doing out of seminary. Eastside Baptist Church, South Oklahoma. My pastor, Dale Propp, was preaching. He said, Brother Don, you stand right there at the front. And here comes down the aisle, the chairman of our deacons. He got me by the hand. And I said, called him by name. And I said, what are you coming for? He said, I'm coming to get saved. And I said, saved? He said, yeah. And I said, the Lord convict you? He said, I've been convicted ever since you became our pastor. He said, the God's been working on me. That boy got saved. Rick Bateman, the guy, just went to his funeral from Greenwood, Arkansas. Brother Rick told me as a pastor, he said, I was a pastor of a church. I had evangelists in. The evangelist preached the message. I came to the altar to get saved as the pastor of the church, having the revival. I just told you about a deacon. I just told you about a pastor's wife. I just told you about a pastor who simply said, look, I know a little bit about it. I can answer the questions. I never met. We're going to sing another verse. God spoke to your heart. Don't put it off. We're celebrating my mom's 1 year anniversary because people die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Are we ready? Brother Ruben.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender.
Don't be shy.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. 5 minutes after this prayer, we're going to have our little bit of speaking. God bless you. Thank you for your great attention today. Jeremiah, I love you. We love us.